The guards standing in the galleries at the Metropolitan Museum of Art are almost invisible unless you need directions to the restroom or they tell you not to stand too close to a work of art. But now some of those guards have stepped into the spotlight to call attention to their own work as artists. They've created an art journal called Swipe Magazine that features drawings, photographs, paintings, and prints made by museum guards. There's also an exhibit of their work through April 4th at 25 CPW Gallery on Central Park West and 62nd Street. Bess Greenberg, director of 25 CPW Gallery, photographer and former Metropolitan Museum guard Jason Eskenazi, and artist Phil Padway, who continues to work as a guard at the Met, join me now to talk about the art journal Swipe and the gallery show. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks.
How did Swipe Magazine Guards Matter come about, Phil?
That's actually probably a question better answered by Jason.
Jason, how did Swipe Magazine come about?
I think it started almost on the day I started to work, because it took time to get into the job. And after a while, I just felt that the guards didn't seem to matter so much, and that I got to know the guards very well over the course of the 20 months that I worked there, and knew that they were great artists there, great people. And upon leaving the Met, I knew I had to accomplish something. I had to give something back to the guards.
And are all the contributors current or former guards at the Met?
Yes.
Could you just as easily have gone to other museums and done something similar? Or does the Met tend to hire guards who make art?
Well, the Met hires college-educated people for the last 20 years or so, and a lot of them happen to be artists. I don't know much about the other museums, but I know in the Met that a large percentage are artists.
And where did the title Swipe Magazine come from?
That was just an epiphany one day. I just thought that it's a magazine about people who swipe in and out of work, who don't get acknowledged for their artistry. And so I just figured that would be a good title that we could use for Met guards and for other institutions around the city and country.
Phil, what attracted you about working at the Met?
Oh, I've always been attracted to art, and I can honestly say the Metropolitan Museum of Art was my favorite place in Manhattan going back to childhood. And I moved to Manhattan about 6 years ago. I was freelancing at the time, and I found myself at the Metropolitan weekly, literally with a sketchbook. So it just seemed like a place to go when I needed a steady paycheck and some insurance.
Can guards pick up a sketchbook when there's nobody around?
It's not... No. The short answer is no.
Because the job does sound kind of potentially mind-numbing, standing around for long hours in a museum, even if you're in a gallery that you adore. Do you get to at least to move around so that you, let's say they've assigned you to a place that you really think, oh, I hate this stuff. Can you go somewhere else the next day?
Yeah. Well, one of the saving graces of working at the museum is actually the fact that you're not generally stuck in a rut like that. They move you around from section to section fairly regularly. And if you're in the one section, even the same section 2 days in a row, you'll find yourself in different galleries.
Because I would request being near the Vermeers or the Caravaggios as much as possible.
So I did.
Keep me away from some of those other things.
I am in the same boat you are, sir.
Bess, are there some examples of drawings made in the museum in Swipe Magazine and in the gallery show?
Are there examples of the...
Sorry. Well, I mean, do we see some kind of connection between the Metropolitan Museum and the art that's in the show, or are these artists?
There's some sculpting paintings that you can see. There's all different kinds of artwork in the show. The thing that's really beautiful about it is that it's made up of a group of individuals that are extremely different. They come from all kinds of different backgrounds. And so when you come into the exhibition, you can see all kinds of different work. I feel like everyone who's coming in is attaching to different kinds of pieces for different kinds of reasons. And for being a person, you know, running the gallery, it's been a complete pleasure to see people come in and respond in the way that they have.
Well, you're across the park from...
Yeah, exactly.
So how did you wind up putting the show together?
Well, I actually met Jason. I knew Jason because he's a photographer. We're both photographers, and I knew about his work and highly respected, a Guggenheim fellow. And one of my friends, good friends, Christina Clausia, she's my housemate, and she was good friends with him, and she talked to him about it, and I suddenly got an email, And it was sort of like it was meant to be from the beginning. We both have a similar approach of do it yourself, get it done, let's work hard, let's not keep the standard that everybody else thinks we should have, let's set our own standard and make it our own way.
Are you surprised by the quality and variety of work in the show?
No, I'm not surprised. I'm pleased. It only was going to run for 2 days, and we had a launch on one evening, and then it ran for 2 days, and we had overwhelming amount of responses, and so I decided we had to open it up for 3 more weekends. So I really hope that people come out and see it and experience the show, you know.
And then you've been getting some press.
Yeah.
I guess people are surprised by the quality of the work. Is the reason you left the job, Jason, because you started making it as a photographer?
No, actually, I made it as a photographer before. I've been photographing for 20 years around the world on different grants, a Guggenheim, a Fulbright. But it came to a point where I just needed to get a job in health insurance. So
it's the health insurance. You think with the new insurance bill, you won't have to worry about that?
I hope. Maybe I quit at the right time. And so I quit in order to just continue photographing. I had enough of the Met of 20 months.
But do you think that working there influenced your work?
It certainly. I mean, I can only say initially it's an incredible place to be near the paintings before the visitors come in the museum and have time to stand in front of Van Gogh's and Vermeer's especially, that I love as well. And learning a lot. I mean, I think guards have an opportunity that no other human being on the planet has, not even a curator, to be near the art, to absorb it more than anyone else. And I think if you are sensitive to that and looking for that, you can gain a lot from the Met. There's no place either that you can ask a curator passing by on a Monday when the museum's closed, which I did on the second floor once. I asked one of them, where is the first painting that shows us mathematical perspective? And he basically took me around the corner and showed me this big painting by Fra Canavale where it was. And he showed me the little notch where he put the nail. And this would not happen anywhere else.
You also don't have anybody to tell you to back off. You can get as close to the work as you want.
Our coworkers might holler at us.
My guests are Jason Eskenazi, a photographer, former guard at the Metropolitan Museum, Phil Podway, who is an artist and is still working at the Met, and Bess Greenberg, who's director of 25 CPW Gallery, where work by guards at the Met, former and current, are on exhibit now. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. Phil, can you describe your work?
Yeah, the work that I have up right now at the gallery is it's mainly portraiture. It's done in watercolor and wash. And to your point earlier about how does working at the museum affect your artwork, I have to say I got there with a lopsided sense of what art was. I was into hyper-realistic drawing, and my draftsmanship was all I cared about, probably because as a self-taught artist, the danger is always what you don't learn, not what you do manage to pick up. So when I got to the museum, I had this mission to draw as much as possible, but I started seeing paintings and sculptures, and I started literally trying to incorporate aspects of photography and impressionism and post-impressionism and crazy swirls of color. So it sounds crazy, but I've got these really bright, colorful portraits with aspects of many different sorts of art.
One of Edgar Allan Poe, a watercolor?
Yeah. One of Edgar Allan Poe. That was actually on, it made the New York Times, the printed edition and the web, and that was on NPR, of all things. I've been kind of blown away.
Can you describe your book, Mommy Has a Tattoo?
I didn't know you knew about that.
We do research here.
I wound up at the Metropolitan Museum. Jason also has a book, but my last stop before hitting the Met was actually to self-publish a children's book called Mommy Has a Tattoo, and it is the first and only children's book dedicated to tattooed parents. And it features tattooed characters. No other book had done that before. So, at 31, I cashed out my 401k and published this book. And at 35, found myself scratching my head and wondering what was next. And the Met is a wonderful place to land if you're trying to scratch your head and figure out what's next.
And Jason, I have your book of photographs here. These are fabulous photographs, all black and white. But I would have thought that you wouldn't have had to worry about health insurance, that there would have been all sorts of publications that would have been sending you off on assignment.
That may be been true about 20 years ago, but I think that sort of died down. Magazine business is not as it was. But I also didn't like the pressure of doing assignments and felt that I wanted to go a different route. And I found that trying to get grants was my way. And I was successful for a number of years of getting grants, but those come and those go, and then I'm left with nothing. So at that point, when I got a job at the Met, I was just coming off of a Fulbright. And I needed to make some money and have health insurance. And also, like Phil was saying, figure out what to do next.
Bess, is this the first ever gallery show dedicated specifically to artwork by museum guards that you know of?
Yeah, it is that I know of.
How long has 25 CPW Gallery been in existence?
I signed a lease on the space in August, and then we opened up in November with a first show of including 9 other member artists.
Well, you're not exactly in an area where there are a lot of art galleries. You see this as a temporary space?
Yeah, it is a temporary situation, but we're definitely making the most out of it. We've had about 14 events since November. And this one has definitely been the longest event that we've had. We extended the exhibition. We tend to have lots of world music gallery concerts. We have launches, magazines, parties, screenings.
This is the former Gristides.
It's a former Gristides.
Yeah, too there small to be, for a supermarket, yeah. But a large size for a gallery.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful space. And we have an upstairs and a downstairs screening room. And, you know, it's pretty strange to think there used to be cardboard and boards and watermelon in the windows, and now we have artwork.
Well, you could always do some Warhols there, Brillo boxes and such, and people won't know the difference. What is the story of Michael Varelli's painting Over the Rainbow, which was featured in the New York Times article about
it's Michael Varley. He had Over the Rainbow number 2, a piece of his Oz series, a painting that ran in the New York Times after our launch. And to be honest, since then, it's been a real whirlwind for him. He's been overwhelmed with responses and sold about half of his Oz series so far and commissioned almost half a dozen more. So it's been really exciting. Ken Lehr, the chairman of the Huffington Post and the co-founder, he bought a piece immediately and commissioned another. And really a really fun part of it is Scott Meserve, who's the grandson of Margaret Hamilton, who played the Wicked Witch in the movie of The Wizard of Oz. He was super excited when he saw it and came and had a studio visit and has been really thrilled. It's just been a really wonderful New York story. I feel really lucky to be a part of it, and most of all, I'm just happy for Michael.
Well, this is what artists ask for anyway. So many say, well, gee, if I just got a chance to show my work, I know people will really be interested, but it's really hard to get a show unless you're already famous.
That's exactly right. But Michael Varley, I mean, when you say it couldn't happen to a nicer person, it's true. I mean, he is a hard-working guy, and he's been at this for probably longer than most. So,
Jason, when is the next issue of Swipe magazine coming out?
We're planning one for fall of 2010.
And will it also just be Met guards and former guards?
We're trying to figure that out now. We'll have a meeting this week, and we'll think about what we're going to do. But it will be another guard issue. We've been getting a lot of great responses from around the country, from guards from other museums and guards from Europe saying they want to be in the next Swipe magazine. So we see that as a green light to keep doing it.
And Bess, I'm assuming that guards from other museums are coming to you and saying, hey, how about the Whitney, how about the Museum of Modern Art?
I haven't heard anything yet. I'm not closed down to it, but I'm sticking with these guys for now. It's been too much fun.
You spend all day in a museum. Do you go to other museums on your day off?
I do actually go to a lot of other museums on my days off. I make a point of hitting the main drag there, the Museum Mile, and I love the Frick. I try and get up to the Whitney, and I actually work nights though, so I actually have days before I get to the museum to see the other museum, which is wonderful.
Well, it's lucky you don't work at the Museum of Natural History, because I understand at night all of the exhibits come alive.
There's a raucous dinosaur,
your life.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot nicer at the Met if some of those paintings came alive.
I wish they would. You know, I walk the halls every evening waiting, and so far, no luck.
So how many more weekends are you going to show these works?
It's going to be open for 2 more weekends. This weekend, Friday through Sunday, 2 through 6, and next weekend as well, closing on the 4th. And we're also going to have a Sunday evening event with live performances and readings from and some theater. Things that couldn't be in the exhibition on the walls, we're going to have a platform for the guards to come on Sunday at the gallery from 6 to 9.
Because some guards do performance pieces as well?
Oh, we have guards that submitted short stories to the magazine, poetry. So we're going to give them a chance to shine.
The gallery is at 62nd Street in Central Park West. If you want more information, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org. My great thanks to Bess Greenberg, director of 25CPW Gallery, and Jason Eskenazi, the photographer, former Metropolitan Museum guard, Phil Padway, who is still at the museum and painting up a storm. It's been a real pleasure talking to you all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.